بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، نشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله، اما بعد. يا ايها الذين امنوا يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران العظيم: يا ايها الذين امنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله. يا ايها الذين امنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على انفسكم او الوالدين والاقربين، وان يكون غني او فقير. Brothers and sisters, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness that whoever Allah guides cannot be misguided. Whomever Allah allows to be blind cannot be guided at all. We seek refuge with Allah from the weakness of ourselves. We believe in Him, we depend upon Him, we rely upon Him. Brothers and sisters, we bear witness with our tongues and our hearts confirmed. There is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Allah's messenger, without a doubt. No doubt. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in fact the messenger of Allah. No doubt. We bear witness that Al-Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is hudah, it is guidance. It is al-haq, the truth. And nur, it's light. We bear witness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless His Muhammad, His Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and his family, and his companions, and the believers everywhere. Brothers and sisters, I've chosen as a theme for today's khutbah an ayah, a verse, in Surah An-Nisa, the 135th verse. I want to remind you who Allah is speaking to, brothers and sisters. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. O you who believe. I must admit, brothers and sisters, this afternoon I've come to put a weight on the shoulders of the Muslims. Yes. Today, brothers and sisters, I'm going to place on your back the responsibility. And I want to, for a few moments, discuss this Rodney King affair. It has great significance for the Muslims. It does. And today, what do I want to do? I want to put on every one of you the shoulder of responsibility in this Rodney King affair. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kunu qawamina bilqist. Oh, you who believe, stand up for justice. That's my commandment to the Muslims. In New York City, the Muslims in Los Angeles, the Muslims all over the world, كونوا قوامين بالقسط. Be custodians of justice. Stand up for justice. شهداء لله. Witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, brothers and sisters, there is a group of Christians very famous who come early in the morning knocking on the doors even of Muslims. They call Jehovah Witness. You know this name, Jehovah Witness, is a good name? You know where they get that name from? They get that name from their scripture, the Old Testament. Be ye witnesses for Jehovah. Do you know that if that was in the Arabic language, it would be the same thing that we have in Al-Quran, shuhada'a lillah, witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you know that's a good name? Jehovah Witnesses is a good name. Because these people are saying that they're witnesses for Allah. But don't you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, shuhada'i lillah, witnesses for Allah. Do you know, you brothers who wear kufis and wear turbans and wear jalabiyah and wear qamis and wear these clothing and wear non-Islamic Western clothing, do you know all of us are shuhada'i lillah, witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so today, brothers and sisters, I only come to put on your shoulder the burden of responsibility of what's going on in the street. Because, I tell you right from the beginning, brothers and sisters, straight out front, that the only people capable of bringing justice in this system are the believers. Plain and simple. Yes, it's on you. Yes. 14 months ago, Muslims in this country and all over the world, along with perhaps billions of others, witnessed 81 seconds of a videotape that went around the world of 21 police officers standing around while four of them beaten in African America, American, with a chain around his neck. And the world witnessed four police officers that we saw in those 81 seconds beat that man 56 times. Banging him in the head, in the ear, in the neck, in the shoulder, in the leg, on the knee, beating him and making these racial remarks 14 months ago. Our eyes didn't deceive us. Last week, a jury in Simi Valley, an area where many of the people are policemen, acquitted these four brutes and said that they did not commit excessive force. What was the result? The result was a riot. Los Angeles exploded. San Francisco, Miami, Seattle, Washington, different parts of the country exploded. What was the result? In Los Angeles alone, 58 people lost their lives. 2,383 people injured. More than 16,000 people arrested. 3,767 buildings set on fire. businesses burning down, homes burning down, and the people in that area lost thousands of jobs. And then the media, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, Channel 11, everywhere they showed the rising and the looting, and we watched in our homes as other white Americans watched. What is the analysis of the people? Look, they said, at them savages. And now the experts are saying, at first when Rodney King was beat, the black people had the sympathy of the white people. But because the African Americans, they say, rioted, then they say now it's the white backlash. Now the white folks are angry at black people and said they deserve what they get. And this is their analysis all over. I wish I brought out with me an article of today's Post. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm not suggesting that you read these papers. I'm not. I tell you, maybe the New York Times, maybe, because there's some information you can get. But I don't want you to think, because I quote from these papers, that you ought to read them. I read them for a reason. I have to know what they're saying as a leader. I have to know what they're putting out. I have to know the tricks that they do. So I have to read it, but I don't suggest you all go out and buy a Post and buy the news. No, I don't suggest that. You want to, we get one here in the masjid. If you want to come read it, come to the masjid and read it, inshallah. Don't you all go spend your money. But in the today's New York Post, page 2, I imagine, you first turn it over on the left-hand side, is an article by one of the biggest racists in the society, former Mayor Ed Koch. You should see this article. I wish I had the statistics in front of me. I left it in my office. But he said, this rioting in Los Angeles reminds me of a story years ago when I used to be a congressman. He said a Hispanic person came to him and said that if I go into an elevator, about to go into an elevator and there's a white woman there, I know that when I go into the elevator, she's not going to go on behind me because she thinks I'm going to rape her. Makes me feel bad to think that people think that of us. You know what that old cop said? He said, well, let's face it, who can blame white people? Who can blame white people? He began to say, well, black people are only 12% of the population, but yet so many people in prison are black, so many murderers are black, so many robbers and arsons are black, so many rapists are black. And he began to give the percentages of the people in prison. That old racist stuff. But what he failed to say is the reality of why so many blacks and Hispanics wind up in jail, why so many white people go scot-free. He don't talk about the racism that exists in this society. And there are many books you can read. One book is called The Rich Get Richer and the Poor Get Prison. Brothers and sisters, you will see that there is institutionalized racism in this nation. Deep down to their very core, this nation is racist. And brother and sister, I wish I had time to really devote to you, to talk to you like I need to talk to you, to make you understand the system. How vicious, how evil, how hypocritical they are. And you know what? The little victims always get punished. But they don't tell you that there are people who commit greater crimes and they go scot-free because their skin is white and because they have power and because they have money and they have influence.
racism is at the very root of this society.
But I don't come today to prove that. My reason for giving this khutbah, for one reason, and one reason over, only, I want to motivate, inspire, to push the Muslims to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, kunu kawamuna, kunu kawamina bil qist, shuhada'a lillah. All you who believe, stand up for justice. I'm telling you, Masjid al-Taqwa, Muslim brothers and sisters, men especially, stand up for justice. Stand up and be custodians of justice. Wallahu ala anfusikum. Even if it be against your own self. Even if it's against your mother and your father, stand up for justice. Even if it be against your relatives, stand up for justice. Whether it be against the rich or the poor, stand up for justice. And that is my commandment to the brothers here, what Allah commanded us. And I want us to be the first to stand up for justice. I ask Imam Al-Amin Abdul Latif, the Imam, the Amir of the Magistrates Court of New York City, stand up for justice. I ask ICNA, the Islamic Society of North America, ICNA, the Islamic Circle of North America, Imam Warafuddin Muhammad, the head of the American Muslim Mission, stand up for justice. Imam this and Imam that, stand up for justice. Shuhada'a lillah, as witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And brothers and sisters, I want to close this part of the khutbah with another incident that took place, not 14 months ago, but 1400 years ago. And I want to contrast what happened then to what happened last week in California. There was a woman, high noble woman, Muslim, who committed thievery, who stole. And the Quraysh, Ahammad, began to worry. Who's going to intercede for this woman? She's a high-class, noble woman. Who's going to intercede? Who will go to the Prophet and speak on her behalf and hope that she can avoid the punishment of stealing? Who can we send? They said, yes, we will send Usama bin Zayd. Usama, the son of Zayd, we'll send him. Why? He is beloved of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's send Usama. He will be a shafa'ah, an intercessor for this woman. And so Usama radiallahu anhuma came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And listen to what the Prophet Muhammad said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two narrations, both of them in Al-Bukhari. And I read this hadith before many times, but one word that I saw this time that I never focused on before, I share it with you. And so when Usama came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede for this rich woman, this noble woman, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, said the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, إِنَّمَا حَلَّكَ مَنْ كَنَّ قَبْلَكُمْ, destroyed were the people who came before you. حَلَّكَ, destroyed. Ah, that's a key word. Why were the people before me and before us destroyed? Why? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُقِيمُوا حَدَّ عَلَى الْوَدِيعِ وَيَتْرُكُونَ الشَّرِيفِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِّهِ La Fatima sa'alat dhalika laka'atu yadaha. The people who came before you were destroyed. Whenever the poor people, whenever the weak people, whenever the small people committed crimes, they would make sure to execute them. They would make sure that they punished them. When little people commit crimes, they would punish them. But whenever the rich and the Sharif and the famous and the noble commit crimes, they will let them go. I swear by Allah that if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by one in whose hand my life is, if Fatima, my daughter, committed crimes, if she stole, I would chop off her hand. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up for justice. And when you read hadith, you will see he loved Fatima radiallahu anha. You can't not deny that. He loved his daughter. He said, what hurts Fatima hurts me. Fatima's part of me. I love Fatima. Yet, if Fatima stole, I would chop off her hand. Why would you chop off her hand? Are you a fanatic? No. I love Allah. And I believe in Allah. Listen, brothers and sisters. As I read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والسارق والسارقة فقطعوا أيديهما. The thief, male or female, this is Allah speaking. The thief, the one who stares, who, men or women, male or female, chop off their hands. If they steal, chop off their hands. This is the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا نَكَالٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. This is their punishment. Because what they have hands have earned, what they have done, they earned it to get their hands chopped off. Nikalin, an example from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? Believe me, you chop off enough hands, other people will get the example. And people say, well, I better not do that. If I steal, I get my hands chopped off. This is an example from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. He's powerful and he is wise. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm asking you a question. Assuming an Islamic State, somebody steals $100, do you chop off their hand? In Islamic State. What about $50? Do you chop off somebody's hand for a dollar? You don't know until you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and his messenger explain to us what it means. How? What commandment did he give? What is the minimum amount of stealing do you get your hand chopped off? Can I tell you what the messenger of Allah says? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they steal 1/4 of a dinar, chop off their hand. You hear what I said? If they steal as small as 1/4 of a dinar, 1/4 of a coin, man, chop off their hand. Why? Because Allah don't like us to steal. You know, brothers and sisters, this masjid should be, if you came here and you left $100 on the floor, you come back 1 month later, that $100 is supposed to still be there in the masjid. Unless somebody pick it up and hold it for you. Not in their pocket. You should not have to come to the masjid and worry somebody going to steal my shoes. Somebody stole my socks. Somebody stole my pen. Somebody stole my book. We had a visitor come to our masjid. Somebody stole some shoes. Very expensive shoes. We had to pay almost $100 for the shoes. Somebody stole a young brother's sneakers. And you know how much sneakers cost these days? We had to pay $70 for somebody stealing somebody's sneakers. Somebody going in sister's pocket stole money. But in an Islamic society, man, you get your hands chopped off. If you stole so much as one-fourth of a dinar. So brothers and sisters, the reason I say this is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ready to cut off the hand of his own daughter. Why? Because he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this verse from Quran, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kunu qawwamina bilqisti shuhada'a lillah wallahu ala anfusikum. Oh, you who believe, stand up for justice. Witnesses for Allah, even if it be against yourself. Daughter, I love you, but I love Allah more. Put your hand down. Son, my beloved son, I love you, my son, but I must punish you because I love Allah more. And if I punish someone else, I will punish you because the law of justice demands. Everybody is under the law. Nobody is above the law. كونوا قوامين بالقسط ودع لله الحمد لله رب العالمين. It's so deep and evil that most people are blinded by it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst person on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the worst person on the Day of Judgment, is a two-faced person. A person who has two faces. They show one face to some people and another face to another people at a different time. America is a classical example of a government that has two faces. This, what I'm about to tell to you, brothers and sisters, is my opinion, based on much facts and information. America, perhaps, is the most wicked government on the face of the planet Earth. Believe me, Satan, we all know him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us know in Quran that Satan, the devil, is an open enemy. Do you know, brothers and sisters, there's no hope for him. He's going to hellfire for sure. No way out. And according to Quran, he's going to bring many people with him. Unfortunately, some Muslims will follow the steps of Satan and will go to hell. But do you know, if Satan would come here today to speak to you, he would speak some truth, though he's a liar. America, government, speaks some truth, though by nature, this system, they're lying. I know what I'm about to say is going to offend some of you. Believe me, wallahi, I said wallahi, President George Bush is a liar. Wallahi Azim. Imam, such disrespect of a head of a nation. Such disrespect of a head of a nation. Brothers and sisters, for the next few moments, I intend to take the covers off these lies and warn you of another enemy that we have that most of you are not aware of. And it is the so-called media. Media. Big enemy. But you see, the media, electronic media, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox Channel, all these channels, and the written media, New York Times, The Post, The Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, whatever it is. They paint themselves as so neutral, unbiased,
All we want is to speak the truth. We have to find the truth. And let's tell the truth. We're all about truth. They're liars.
Yeah. Brothers and sisters, let me pull your coat. Media is a business. It's a business. Like any other business. When you turn the 5 o'clock news on Channel 4, you're looking at a business, man. They're trying to sell a product. Channel 7, Channel 2, they're competing. I want to get them. How do they make their money? How do they make their money? Sponsors. What sponsors? What kind of control do the sponsors have? TVs get billions of dollars from sponsors. Do you think, brothers and sisters, they get all this money in their pocket and they have nothing to say? Will they say anything about those people? Will they bite the hand that feed them?
I'm going to drop a bomb on you. You ready for a bomb, man?
So you have to ask yourself a question. In these days, whenever I pick up a book, I want to know, man, who's the author. I don't care about the title. I want to know who's the author, man. Who is the author? What's his background? We'll see a movie. Oh, let's go to the movie. Who's the producer? Let's buy the newspaper. Who's the publisher? Who is the publisher, man? Ain't no invisible people. There's real people behind the publishers and the writers and the authors. And all of these people are people who have prejudice, who have ideas, who are paid by people who have special interests.
And so the unsuspecting American people pick up the Wall Street Journal. And for them, it's like reading Quran. Everything that's said.
Peter Jennings said it must be right.
No. Most likely it's wrong. Let me just drop this bomb and just leave it for you to contemplate.
In these fields,
everybody watches in these.
Who owns NBC? You know who owns it? Isn't it just there? Isn't it just there? No, it's owned by somebody. Can I tell you who owns it? And guess what? You can check me out.
General Electric.
So what? So what? So what? You know what General Electric is? One of the biggest producers of armaments. Weapons in this country.
So what, ma'am? What's the connection? I'll tell you the connection.
Oh, we so upset. Look what the people are doing in Los Angeles.
58 people lost their lives. Isn't it a shame?
Over 200,000 people lost their lives in Iraq.
Isn't that a shame?
Well, but 2,383 people, they got wounded, they hurt themselves.
300,000 Muslims in Iraq laying in the hospital. Some of them no arms, no legs.
But the savages, 3,767 buildings they put on fire, them savages there.
What about the savages of America? Great Britain and France, as 28 nations bullied the little nation and had
109,876 sorties, flying missions, dropping 89,000 tons of bombs.
They destroyed property in Los Angeles, $700 million to $1 billion property, untold billions of dollars, tens of dollars destroyed in Iraq. Innocent babies died. Murdered, destroyed. Where's the outcry? Why? You can get all the film and the footage of all the carnage in Los Angeles, but you can show me no footage of any damage in Iraq. And all you show me is some surgical strike. Now, 1 year later, it comes out that these so-called surgical strikes were missing, and they were missing their targets, and there were human targets destroyed in Iraq. And how did the media portray it? Oh, these are surgical strikes hitting only military targets. And by the way, these bombs are helping us to save lives. But whose lives? You certainly didn't mean the people of Iraq. And you know what? The United States government, brothers and sisters, had bombs and weapons of terrorism. But they don't call it terrorism. They drop a bomb, and this bomb literally sucks the air out of your lungs, sucks the blood out of your lungs. And you suffer. These evil people came. Saddam Hussein tried. He tried to surrender. And your president said, oh, this is a big hoax. I'm ready to surrender. This is a big hoax. Then soldiers by the thousands, they call a road in Iraq, they call it Death Road. You know why? Because these soldiers were running to spare their lives, to save their lives. They were running, they were giving up, and the American bombs came and destroyed them and dropped bombs on them while they were running away, throwing their weapons down. They ran over them, and they took bulldozers and put hand over the soldiers and buried them alive. Brothers and sisters, you don't even know half of it. You know why? You know why you didn't see that on the television? You didn't read about it in the newspaper? Because these people are down with the system, owned by corporate giants. They know who feeds them. They don't stand up for justice because they don't care about you. They don't care about any people of color. They're concerned only about themselves. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, one day Allah is going to expose them. You won't see them as they are. You see, when they come with their suit and tie on, when your president comes and stands before us looking so dignified, Allah already exposed him to us. It is lying stuff. These have the newspapers talk about the drugs and these drug dealers. Mr. Bush is one of the biggest drug dealers on this earth. But brothers and sisters, you don't know how they play the game. I was in a city, brother came to me, Brother Imam Faraj, we have to invite you to Australia. Australia, yes. Many Muslims in Australia. Imam Faraj, you know how many people came together in Sydney, Australia for the Eid? How many Muslims? How many, brother? We got a space so big, so many blocks. And the newspaper in Sydney reported that there were over 200,000 Muslims in one location for the Eid this year. How many of you heard about it? Nobody. So not that that's 200,000 people. He said he estimated 250,000, but the newspaper said 200,000. And if the newspaper said 200,000, you know what it was. I said, man, let me do some research in Australia. And I got some books, man, started reading about Australia. And said, huh, the European race came over there about the time of Columbus, 1492. And they said there were aboriginal people there. They said, uh-huh. These people have been there, they said, for 40,000 years. Huh. And when they first came, they had 400,000 of them. In a few years, 100,000 of these black aborigines. What happened to them? And so they said when the European came over there, they said the only thing we saw was some black savages. And isn't it interesting that wherever these people go, same program, extermination. Where the Indians at? They discover land that's already inhabited by people who happen to be red. Where are the Indians, man?
go to Africa. Now Africans are trying to fight for their land. And you waiting for justice from Mr. Duterte. You think he's going to give you justice? Ask the Palestinians about their justice. There in Palestine. Where's the indigenous population in Palestine? Where are they? Where are the Arabs? Why can't they get freedom? Why can't the black man in South Africa get freedom? So these people came in India. They came in Africa. All over. And brothers and sisters, a systematic destruction. Well, why do I say that? I say that, brothers and sisters, because it is my honest belief that Muslims must study history. We have to study history, and we have to study geography. Geography. When you understand geography, you understand history. You put it together. So, there's oil over there. Let's go control that. There's gold there. Let's control that. There's natural resources there. Let's go control that. But that's not my topic. In my conclusion, brothers and sisters, I conclude with this. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qist. Tu'ada'a lillah. Oh, you believe, stand up for justice as witnesses to Allah. Now, some of you here might legitimately hate some people. Now, brothers and sisters, I will never, never tell people, don't be violent. That's not the Islamic way, by the way, tell people don't be violent. No. But the violence has to be selective. You know what these people did? Proof of it, what they did, these people in Los Angeles, am I condoning it? No. You don't ask whether it was wrong, but you try to understand it. Let me give you a bit of understanding in my conclusion. You know what it's like, what happened in Los Angeles? It's like somebody saying, listen, I'm tired of you oppressing me. And if you don't stop oppressing me, I'm going to get me a knife and I'm going to cut my throat. That's what they did. They went out to Los Angeles and they cut their throat. Why they cut their throat? They're frustrated. And they have despair. Now, Muslims cannot despair. So therefore, one day, you know what they say, brothers and sisters? You know why Bush sent all those troops, 5,000 troops from Washington? You know why he sent them there? Believe me. Not because of necessarily what they were doing there, but what they had the potential to do. Believe me, brothers and sisters, Muslims in America are the most strategic Muslims on the earth. They are. Because while the United States government can drop 109,000 sorties in a land thousands of miles away, they won't do that here. And their worst nightmare is that one day the Muslims wake these people up. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, what we can do, we need a spiritual revolution in this country. And I'm saying you don't need to arm the people with 9mm and Uzis. You need to arm them with righteousness first. And once you arm them with righteousness first, then you can arm them. But my mandate here is that we Muslims have to go out there and give the people Islam. Islam is the only answer. Why do I say that? Because it is only Islam, brothers and sisters, that we do it for Allah. And listen to the verse. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, all you who believe. Allah didn't say, oh politicians. He didn't say, oh kafirs. That means that they cannot deliver justice. And there's a statement now that the African-American activists say, no justice, no peace. Do you know that's Quranic? That's from the Quran. Because there never, ever, ever will ever be peace unless there's justice. And the only ones who can bring justice are the Muslims. Even. Some of you right now, you hate Jews. You know something? I don't hate every Jew. Some of you hate white people. I don't hate every white person. Some of you hate the government. I don't hate every white person. But yet, my Lord tells me, despite your hatred for people, let not your hatred of a people cause you to be unjust. If you hurt my family, believe me, I'm coming after you.
And I'm not going to get nobody. I'm not going to get your wife. I'm not going to get your father. I'm not going to get your daughter. I'm going to get you. And I'm going to get nobody else but you. Believe me. I will spend my life trying to find you and get you. And when I find you, I won't go beyond the boundaries. Inshallah, you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and let not your hatred of the people cause you to be unjust. And even if we go to war, brothers and sisters, one day we will, believe me. That's why you commanded jihad fi sabilillah. Not just jihad, jihad fi sabilillah. Get up, get out the street, man. You're not ready for no revolution. You faking it, man. You're jiving, you're talking rhetoric. But the true soldiers for Allah are Muslims. Why? Because everything we do for Allah. And you can come, you can spit in my face. If Allah don't demand for me to fight back, I won't fight. Until Allah demands it. Believe me, when Allah demands us to fight, we're not stopping. Can nobody stop us for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what these people need to hear. They need to get out of the street and get in the masjid, learn Islam, and then get in the street. Because these people got guts and courage that a lot of Muslims don't have. Some of these people are ready to stand in front of anybody and fight because they have that spirit in them of fight. Some Muslims have lost the desire to fight, to struggle. Muslims have become soft. And they love the soft life. And they hate death. And they love the dunya. And this is why all over the world Muslims are getting their butt kicked, except those Muslims who fight back for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like in Afghanistan. And so we need to have the spirit here, man, to stand up for Allah for justice. That's why I'm asking every one of you brothers, stand up for justice. Are you ready to stand up for justice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it be against yourself? I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like what I'm saying. Faraj, you got to get yourself together. Stand up for justice, even if it be against yourself. Mom, Dad, I'm telling you, Mom, Dad, you're wrong. I love you. But I got to stand up for justice. Rich or poor, make no difference. We can't be politicians. Politicians don't seek justice. Bush will never give justice to the Palestinians unless there's something in it for him. And he feels that if he doesn't give us a little bit concession, then he's going to lose his position because these people are prostitutes in the name of government. Who's the highest bidder? You want me? Give me some votes. But not a Muslim. Muslims say, keep your votes, keep your money. I'm here for Allah. I'm shuhada alillah. I'm a witness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I come to establish justice. Ya yaladina aminu kumu qawadim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala azwaj Muhammad wa ala zuriyat Muhammad wa sallam taslimu kathirun. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الحمد لله رب العالمين.